Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. What a joy and a delight it is to have you with us today, wherever you might be. We do certainly thank you for the pleasure of your company. And along with Sam Rohr and Dave and Dan Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. And we're just delighted to have you with us, no matter where you might be. And we want to encourage you to stay tuned to the program today, because coming up in just a short period of time, that is when we get into the second segment of the program, Jeff Nicklaus will be with us. And Jeff is going to bring to Stand in the Gap today a rich blend of perspectives. And he was involved with, he's been involved with the Army for a good number of years, and was involved with the Black Hawk Down helicopter situation that most of you people are probably fairly well familiar with. Many of you have seen the movie, and we're just delighted to have him with us today. He's born again. He loves the Lord. And in just a moment, Sam might be saying more about him. And but you won't want to go away from your radio, ladies and gentlemen. You'll just want to stand by, stay close, and be ready to listen, because I think today's program is going to be a blessing to you. Again, we want to welcome a number of new stations who are part of the Kingdom Kids, Kingdom Keys Network down in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. It's always a delight to have new radio stations, and of course, along with those new radio stations come new listeners. And to every one of our new listeners and new stations, welcome aboard. Stand in the Gap today is on the radio every day at this same time. And what we attempt to do is to look at issues of the day from the perspective of the Word of God and the United States Constitution. It is a ministry of the American Pastors Network. And you can learn more about this program by going to our new website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's one word. StandInTheGapRadio.com. And of course, at that particular website, you can learn about all three of the programs we produce, which is number one, Stand in the Gap Today that you're listening to now, Stand in the Gap Weekend that's on many stations across the nation every weekend. It's a one-hour program. And then, of course, Stand in the Gap Minute. It's a program that Brother Sam produces that's aired on many stations across the country. So we would encourage you to go to StandInTheGapRadio.com. You can even learn a little bit about your hosts. And there might be some good things you'd want to learn about them. Maybe some other things you don't want to learn about them. I don't know, Dave. But if they go there, they can learn, right?
Absolutely, Gary. If they go to the website, they can learn everything they want to know and more, and probably a lot of things they don't want to learn about us. But anyway, we'd encourage you to go to the website. It is very, very well done website, and so we commend those who've put that together for us. But yeah, please go there, learn more about us, and learn more about Stand in the Gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you that tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel, we are going to have what is referred to as the first presidential debate of this particular season, this particular cycle. And you'll not want to miss it. You'll want to participate. You'll want to watch it so that you can see where these folks stand. And Sam, it seems like we've already come down with the final qualifiers. It's interesting, the lineup that we're going to see there tomorrow night. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly correct. And, Gary, there is going to be, the main one is going to be at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. These are in this order of how they're going to have been chosen. Trump, I'm not going to give all the percentages, but Trump was number one, 23%. Jeb Bush, then next, Walker, 3, Huckabee, 4, Ben Carson, 5, Ted Cruz, 6th place. 7th is Marco Rubio, 8th is Rand Paul, 9th is Chris Christie, which has been a surprise, frankly. And then John Kasich, also a surprise, is number 10. Now, they're going to be having the debate for the others who did not make that cut at 5 o'clock Eastern time, and they are in the order of selection. Rick Perry at only 1.8%. Then Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina, Lindsey Graham, George Pataki of New York is stuck in there at 0.6%. And then Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, is down, hardly even showing up at 0.2%. So there's actually going to be two rounds of them tomorrow night. And clearly, I know that they're trying to plan themselves how they're going to distinguish themselves as candidates. And certainly those asking the questions are trying to figure out, as they've all been commenting, how they can get them to differentiate themselves tomorrow night. But Trump goes into it leading. Even the media is amazed that he is there where he is. But I've been noticing that a lot of the attacks have been coming in the last couple of days towards him becoming very personal. And they have not at this point, but they become personal, which is unfortunately what happens in the whole political spectrum. So I think that we're going to see some weight, some thinning out and some differentiating here, I think precipitated by what starts tomorrow night.
Well, you know, I can imagine that there will be a lot of viewers and a lot of listeners on radio, you know, just by virtue of the fact that Donald Trump is there. I certainly hope that who is it, Megyn Kelly and Chris Wallace and who?
Brett Baer.
Brett Baer. I hope they can maintain order, and I think that they will. But, you know, when it comes to Donald Trump, Dave, you never know what to expect.
Well, gentlemen, I think it's interesting. Not only is he the number one as far as the polling that has taken place up to this point, but, gentlemen, if you look at the way the stage is laid out for tomorrow night's debate, Donald Trump is in the dead center of the stage. So he is center stage as far as the focus of the American people right now. Tomorrow night in the debate, he will be center stage as well. And I have no doubt, knowing what I know about him, he will play that up to his distinct advantage. But, gentlemen, it's going to be very, very interesting. And I think barring any major blunder by Donald Trump, if he speaks with some degree of clarity and some degree of confidence and seems to have a grasp of the ideas on some of the major issues that will be brought before him and the rest of the candidates tomorrow night, I don't think he is going to lose anything in the polls. In fact, he may be rocketed forward significantly if he does well tomorrow night. So it's going to be interesting. He's got a lot of things he's got to answer for yet, but it's going to be an interesting thing to observe tomorrow night.
Well, it will. And folks, we want to encourage you to watch it, listen to it, not just to see Donald Trump, but to pray. We need wisdom and understanding as to who to get behind as for our next presidential candidate. So you must watch it to pray. We'll be, of course, evaluating it and analyzing it on Friday. So, you know, if you do happen to miss it for one reason or another, join us then, and we'll be delighted to talk about it. Sam, why don't you set up our next guest? This is exciting. Share with our people a little bit about Jeff Nicklaus.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. Yeah, Jeff Nicklaus is an individual I met a couple of years ago, heard him speaking at a prayer conference in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, a large group. Did a tremendous job of bringing forth his personal testimony with the Lord, but what made it most intriguing was the incorporating of his background as a military veteran, a helicopter pilot, and as we mentioned earlier, not just a regular helicopter pilot, but a very particular kind, the Black Hawk type, MH-60, I believe, was the model of it. And he was involved in very key things, involved even in the Somalia disaster over there. And a lot of people recall that. But he was involved in that. He comes from a long, long history of military people, his father and every generation back to the Revolutionary War. But he's going to join us in this next segment. We're going to talk about what he's learned military-wise and apply that to how our walk in the Christian life ought to be. I think it's going to be tremendously exciting here, Gary.
Well, I believe you're absolutely correct, Sam. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you won't want to go far from your radio or your computer. When we come back, we will have Jeff Nicklaus with us. I'm looking forward to it. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. Stay tuned. We will be back after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohrer, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for
every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, Dan Kistler. I'm Gary Dahl, and we have a very, very special guest with us, Jeff Nicholas. Sam, why don't you introduce Jeff to our listeners, please?
Glad to do so, Gary. Yes, we have our guest, first time to Stand in the Gap today, our audience, and so we're wanting to introduce him. And because, as I said, Jeff Nicholas, he's military background, he's a vet, he's been involved in some extraordinary exercise, military exercises over the years. They come from a long history of soldiers who have been real patriots in our history's nation's history. But I would say even more than that, what's attracted to him to me was the fact that he, I would put, is a Christian soldier. And I'm going to let him take. And I, first of all, I'm going to welcome you first now, Jeff, so that people can hear you. Welcome, first of all, to Stand in a Gap today, and then we'll go into some questions, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here with you today.
Well, we're glad you're taking time to be with us, Jeff. And I want to get right into it because our folks will get to understand who you are by the way you answer the questions. And I'm going to pose the first one to you. As someone who's been in military operations, some highly visible ones as well, I know I've heard you speak relative to the intricacies of how things work. And how things have to work with precision if they're going to work out and be successful, and I've heard you take and compare this approach to really our Christian walk. I'd like to go down that path with you a little bit right now and say, you know, in your time in the military, what's the one thing, perhaps I could put it that way, that you've picked up from your military training that is probably most applicable to our Christian life and our Christian walk? Just explain that for a little bit, if you could.
Right. Well, just to back up a little bit, I really didn't surrender to the Lord until about 14 years after Somalia. I had retired from the Army. I went to work for the State Department as a contractor in Afghanistan, and it was there that I truly surrendered to the Lord. And not long into that walk, I realized that a lot of my military background really kind of applied to the Bible and how we should approach biblical living. So it was really kind of a nice fit for me in a way, because I could see Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, because the battle's not against flesh and blood, it's a spiritual warfare, and he lists the enemies that we fight against. And he talks about in Timothy, he tells him to, you know, endure the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So a lot of my viewpoints really come as a soldier, or as a Christian soldier, so to speak, now in this worldview. And we can probably get into it later, but I use those viewpoints to really kind of mold my thinking and how I approach my walk with the Lord.
Jeff, when you actually went into Somalia and were a part of that operation, that which was really a disaster in many respects, many lost their lives, I believe. But it was an intricate operation. What was it that even made that work? I mean, I'm sure there, because so many involved, that everybody had to be operating according to some kind of established operating procedures, working in a synchronous way. Otherwise, it never would have even happened the way it did, right?
Well, we actually started planning in March of that year and conducted various exercises throughout that spring and summer until we finally deployed in August. So we basically started, you know, in the military sense of the word, we used scenario templates to format our plans around, because we knew we'd have very little time to operate from. We use a graduated training plan called the crawl, walk, and run method of training. We built slowly until we had all these different plans worked out, and to include contingencies. But the glue that held that all together were our SOPs. And SOPs, or standard operating procedures, are really just strictly this. They are the core plans that we use for mission planning, briefing, and execution, to include contingencies that we commit to memory and use in the absence of a brief change. In other words, unless you don't tell me anything else, I'm going to go to what the SOP says for this situation. And the Bible really fits perfectly into that. You know, Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Our Bible is truly our standard operating procedure for how we should live our lives out.
Jeff, this is Dave Kistler. I want to ask you a question. I appreciate so much your service to our country, but I know every operation like this operation that has come to the minds of the American people to be termed just Black Hawk Down. I know the name of the operation was Operation Gothic Serpent. Can you explain to our listening audience how operations are tagged and titled and what the significance of that is?
You know, I really don't know. Every time we did an operation, it was always given a different label, and that was, for some reason, I guess, for OPSEC purposes, operational security, and we would go with that. Otherwise, you know, I really don't know why and how they get those names.
How early in?
They have an interesting take.
Yeah, they are. Some of them are very intriguing. How early into an operation are you given the title of it? Is it in a briefing format? I mean, you know, as you're told what you're going to be doing, is that when you're given the title of it, or how does all of that work?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if I could just kind of dive into some of these aspects of how I use my Christian walk and how I view, especially in the days that we live in now. You know, we're brought into a briefing area, and we're given, or we give, depending on our role, what was called in the military a five-paragraph operations order. And those five paragraphs were situation, mission, execution, service support, and command and signal. So we get kind of like a broad overview of what's going on, but the very first thing that we brief is the situation, and the very first thing under the situation paragraph is the enemy situation. And that is, where are they located, how many are there, what do they have, what is their organization, what's their morale and capabilities. Once we go into a target, what is their response time, and what do we think their probable course of action will be once we do hit it? And if you look at our enemy, Satan, and how we're living in this world today, he's had a millennia to set up his command and control and his hierarchy based on Ephesians 6, the enemies that we fight. His communication, which is instantaneous as far as I know, being in the spiritual realm, his propaganda and psychological warfare. And it just amazes me all the things that are going on and how so much of the stuff comes to play, especially with mirror and military operation and what's happening in the world.
You know, Jeff, this is Gary, and of course we, again, very much appreciate what you have done and your service to our country, and of course now your service to the Lord. But you didn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as you mentioned, until after much of this military service was done. My question to you is, did what take place over there in Somalia, did God use that to bring you to Christ? Was he convicting you during that period of time in any way, as you look back upon it?
Certainly. I claimed to be a Christian at that time, and my faith was really like a roller coaster walk, but I never really had truly surrendered to Christ. And, you know, my pastor says it very clearly now. He says you can't take faith in Christ and add it to a sinful life and expect some kind of miraculous event. In Romans 12:1, where Paul talks about we need to surrender, I really didn't truly understand that concept until God really kind of had to humble me in every kind of area of my life to finally get my attention. It was in Afghanistan that really came about. But I'm sure Somalia and all that was part of it, because I thought about it every day.
It's interesting the way God leads us into various circumstances, you know, to get our attention, Dave.
You know, Jeff, it's an amazing thing. I hear you talk and quote just easily, quickly. It's like it flows out of you, the scriptures. You referred earlier to the Word of God as our standard operating procedure or our manual. Talk about how you made the transition from a military SOP to the scriptures being your SOP.
Well, it's a real easy fit, actually. Again, if you look at our standard operation procedures, and I talked about earlier how we brief, I already talked about the situation, and then paragraph 2 talks about our mission, and that would be a general broad brush view of what was going on or what was going to happen, basically a phasing of the major muscle movements. And so our mission now is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And then in paragraph 3, we get to execution. And the first thing we would brief in execution is commander's intent. What is our commander's intent? What does he want to see happen at the end of the mission? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen. But in the meantime, it says in John 14:21, to obey his commands. He who loves me will obey my command. Matthew 28, we're supposed to tell other people about Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give a defense for the gospel.
And certainly there is no doubt about it, Jeff, but from just listening to you here on the radio, you do that. You are a faithful defender of the truth, and you share your faith quite clearly. We appreciate that very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Jeff Nicholas, who was a part of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, and the part of that group that led us into the movie The Black Hawk Down. We're going to talk more about that when we come back, so don't go away.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. With some members of Congress and the public skeptical about the Iran nuclear agreement, President Obama is speaking about it now at American University in D.C.
It cuts off all of Iran's pathways to a bomb.
Top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell says the doubts are justified.
America's role in the world, its commitment to global allies, and the kind of future we'll leave our children are all tied up in this issue.
President Obama has said he'd veto any vote against this deal. Pope Francis is defending Catholics who get divorced and remarry.
He said people who start a new union after the defeat of their sacramental marriage are not excommunicated, and they must not be treated that way. In Catholic teaching, divorcees who remarry are considered to be living in sin and are banned from taking communion.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News. We report. You decide.
When Isaac took on the family business, it was his shot at redemption. He'd failed in school, but this was his second chance. So what happened? He failed again. But Isaac's story doesn't stop there. His uncle helped him get a college education, where he did well. How well? Fast forward to his full name, Isaac Newton. Perhaps the greatest and most influential scientist who ever lived. You probably know him from his theory of gravity. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge with another respected theory. This one is about failure. You don't have to get thunked by a falling object to know that failure can say more about the work than the worker in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly we are very thankful that you have stayed tuned to the program today, because we are interviewing Jeff Nicholas, who, of course, not only was a good soldier, not only was a good helicopter pilot, but also he's a committed Christian, and his testimony just flows out. And of course, that's a very, very encouraging thing to me. And I know, of course, it probably is to you as well. and he has a lot to share with us. And so, Sam, I'm just going to defer to you as we continue our discussion with Jeff Nicklaus.
All right, glad. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, Jeff, I'd like to go back and pick up where Dave left off, and you left off right before the break, where you're going down through and laying out the situation, the mission, and you're into execution. Continue to go through that a little bit, and then we're going to come back and ask you some more questions about this whole integration and application of these principles to our Christian life and how we take and use them to analyze and filter things as we go forward. So if you could, pick up on where you left off there when you're talking about execution.
Sure. In the five-paragraph military op order, execution is the third paragraph. And in that paragraph, we get the commander's intent, the very first thing. How does he want this mission to proceed? What is his desired outcome? And, you know, the final goals and how this mission can be termed complete and successful. So we have the Word of God, which tells us about that. So in that plan is when we get into the nitty-gritty of how it's actually going to take place. And during that time is when people start getting a real clear idea of everybody's exact roles at the exact time to do the exact thing. And that gives you a keen sense of your roles and responsibilities and adds to what we call in the military your situational awareness. And from there, once you gain the situational awareness and understanding of the complete picture, you're able to perform, you're able to do what you need to do, and you have a good idea of what's going on around you. And so I apply that basically in my life, too, with situational awareness by tracking certain events that go on, you know, around the world.
Jeff, let me...
Beyond that, I'm sorry, Dave.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
I had my muted myself there, unfortunately. But you have situation, mission, and execution. Go ahead and build out the fourth and the fifth paragraph first, and then I know Dave's got some questions.
Yeah, the service and support and the command and signal are the last two paragraphs. Basically, where are we going to get our logistics, our medical support, whatever else we need to accomplish the mission, who's going to provide what, and the command and signal lays out specifically who's in charge, what's the chain of command look like, what are their call signs. Normally that would include an execution checklist. So once one thing is completed, there would be a phrase word that would let us know that that phase is completed, and then it would give us all of our frequencies and communications plan to execute.
Jeff, I'm just listening to these, and I think anyone who's listening who has been a believer in Jesus Christ for any length of time automatically is picking up these parallels and applications significantly through all of this. You know, one of the things I think is really important that's not well understood in Christian culture is the understanding of authority. We talk a lot about God being the authority. Jesus Christ is the one who authority is vested in, and he presides over the home and the church and civil government. That's a biblical worldview. But what you're talking about right here also assumes a very keen understanding of authority and operating under authority. Speak to that issue a little bit about the critical nature of being under authority and what happens if anyone in the link is not.
Well, if authority breaks down, then you basically have mission compromise. If someone goes rogue and start doing what they want to do, if this one certain individual or group of people don't do what they're expected to execute, that could mean the whole failure of the operation. So it's key that everybody stays on point, and that they stay focused on the mission, and execute when and where they're supposed to do so. It's such a parallel with how we walk. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. We have the SOP in order to give us the guidance to live. We know that we're in a battle. We know that communication includes prayer. We know that the Bible says, God said, I will provide all your needs. There's our service and support. He said, I'm going to send a helper to help you in this walk. And I want you to run the good race and fight the good fight until I come back. So we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to be on the offensive. I view my walk, because I think a lot of Christians are too timid. I have the attitude when I share the gospel or point something out, I do it out of love, 1 Peter 3:15. But I have the attitude of show me, like I'm from Missouri. If you have a better way, show me. The Bible defends itself. History defends itself. Science defends itself. Archaeology defends itself. The Bible is totally proven by all those things. And you have a reasonable argument with anybody in any realm defending the gospel. And we need to be on the offensive because we have the truth, and the truth still means something.
Jeff, I'm going to have one question on that. I know Dave is salivating to ask you more questions. Make the application here. I'm going to make the statement. We know, and we've said many times here that on this broadcast, one of the unfortunate things is that the surveys across America indicate that those in the pulpit, pastors in the pulpit, on the broad spectrum, less than 30% believe in the authority of Scripture. We look at what appears to be an aggressive face of evil going across this country. There are a lot of things happening, and I would say that there's a great weakness in the walk of many Christians, including many in the pulpit. Make this connection now with that. Is it possible? Is it possible to have a victorious Christian walk? Is it possible to face the challenges of the day and not believe that the Scripture is authoritative and operate according to it?
Well, you cannot operate without, if you don't believe in your SOP, how are you ever going to accomplish the mission? The thing is, one of the things I already talked about, the enemy, Satan, he's had the ability to set up. If you look at that, he's also done espionage. His forces, the people that he controls, have infiltrated mainline denominations and have weakened the gospel. And so, therefore, you have espionage going on as well. You know, he is the father of the D words. Deception, delusion, distraction, destruction, so on and so forth. And he has infiltrated these institutions that we used to hold dear. However, the Holy Spirit is still more powerful. God sits on the throne, and God's word will go out. Will we have a major revival again? I don't know. Our job, no matter where we are, if we're the church, is to stand and defend. That's why it's so important to be involved with a group of believers, to be in your Bible, to be in prayer, to have accountability, to find a good Bible-believing church that rightly divides the Word of God so we can stand in the truth. I've said this many times to a lot of guys I've spoken to. As this world marches further and further away from God, the gray area that society used to be able to operate in is now gone. And the decisions that we make and the choices that we make are going to be obvious and that clear, those choices.
Jeff, this is Dave, and I know we have about just a couple of minutes until we end this segment, but I want to make a suggestion, then I want to ask a question. I would love to see you write a book taking these five paragraphs and doing what you've done on this program and make application to the spiritual walk and to the walk that we have in Christ, because I think it would be powerful not only for pastors but for the person in the pew as well. And then I want to ask this question. When an operation goes bad, like Black Hawk Down did, and you come back from that operation that was, I'm going to use the term, unsuccessful. How does the SOP factor into that? What takes place there? And how are you debriefed after an unsuccessful mission? And maybe then apply that to what can happen when a Christian fails in their walk with Christ.
Well, after any mission, we always conducted what we call a debrief, hot wash, depending on what military branch you're from. We always refer to ours as after-action reviews, and we always debrief those missions. And sometimes people that debrief would say, give us three sustains and three improves. Three, what do we do right? And three, what do we need to fix? And based on a consensus of all the information that comes in, SOPs can be changed, so on and so forth. Luckily, our SOP doesn't change. God says, I change not. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for proof, correction, and training in righteousness, that we may be equipped for every good work. So we have a good, solid SOP. Our problem is we need to follow it and know it, if you know what I mean.
You know, Jeff, that is outstanding. In fact, Gary and I are sitting here as we're listening to you talking. I know Sam's thinking probably the same thing on the other end. Brother, you've got to write this book. You absolutely have to. You bring everything right back to the Scriptures and make the appropriate application, and it's been powerful. And I want to thank you personally so much for being on the program with us today.
It's been a delight to have you with us, and we're running out of time. You know, one of the things when we get to heaven, Jeff, is that we will never run out of time to talk about the things that are important to us. So in just a final few seconds, give our audience a final challenge from your Christian life.
Well, we are living so close to the return of Jesus Christ that there are people out there, and myself included, there are people that we know, there are family members, there's friends, there's coworkers, that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and we need to be willing to stand up, but we have to have a good understanding of the knowledge to be able to rightly defend the gospel and share the gospel. And that would be my challenge to everyone out there.
And that's a good challenge. Know the gospel, defend the gospel, and share the gospel. Jeff Nicholas, thank you very, very much for being with us, and let us know when you have that book written. We will probably be the first to read it. God bless you, and keep up the good work, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to return right after this break, so don't you go away. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work. Walk the dog. Have the dog walk you. Take a hike. Take a bike. Skate. Dance. Hop. Jump. Do the Humpty Hump. Skip seconds. Skip dessert. Skip, skip, skip to Maloo. Don't skip breakfast. Drink H2O. Lower your sodium. Raise the roof. Shake your booty. Stock up on vegetables. And don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a left.
You're not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue and go past the first three lights and then take the next left.
I don't really.
Then drive five more blocks and you should be there.
Right to judge, right?
Park on the right. I'll see you later tonight.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. America is having its eyes open to the evil of abortion thanks to the undercover investigation of Planned Parenthood and the gruesome things it does in exchange for money. But even so, there are still people and politicians willing to defend this dastardly organization, which is responsible for the deaths of millions upon millions of unborn children and, as we have been finding out, the sale of their body parts for apparent profit. Please join us in praying that these recent revelations will truly awaken the hard-hearted among us to the truths of abortion and the value of every human life created in the image of God, and help support ministries that fight for the sanctity of life, whether here at Pennsylvania Family Institute or at your local pregnancy care center.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website.
AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so very, very much for remaining there by the radio or the computer, however you are listening. And you've just heard a tremendous interview with Jeff Nicholas, and I certainly do appreciate his service for the United States of America. I also appreciate his service to God, and it's just a tremendous testimony to see how he has brought the two of them together. What a challenge he has given us to know the gospel, defend the gospel, and share the gospel. We're going to make a bit of a change here, though. There is news breaking even as we are on the radio. It has to do with our President Barack Obama making a speech on the Iranian deal there from the American University in Washington, D.C. Dave, you're trying to control your anger, but there's steam coming out of your ears. I can see that.
Well, gentlemen, while we were away at break, we were monitoring the president's speech at American University, and he selected American University because it's the same location that John F. Kennedy delivered his famous Cold War speech. And while we were away at the break, Sam, I don't know if you had a chance to hear it, but Gary and I could hear it here in the studio. And the president was at the point in his speech where he said, "I know that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, has real difficulty with this deal." And I want to set the stage so that our listeners can understand. The president, as he was saying that, had that classic characteristic anger, that fire in his eyes as he's talking about Bibi Netanyahu and the nation of Israel. And he said, "I disagree with him. He is wrong." He was very adamant. The prime minister is wrong to disagree with this deal. And he said, "I, as president of the United States, for a temporary problem with a close ally, cannot sacrifice the security of the United States of America that he believes, the president believes, this deal is bringing to us." And gentlemen, I struggle to watch these kind of things. The arrogance, the incredible arrogance, the violent disregard that the president has for the nation of Israel is beyond stunning. And if you know anything about the content of this deal, the things the president's saying, Gary, at American University are outright untruths. They are outright untruths. And so, yes, I'm struggling to contain myself, and so I'm glad I've got two men on either side of me in the studio to hold me down.
Sam, we're literally holding him down here, but I don't know, as he said, I don't know if you've been able to monitor this or not, but this is very, very crucial for Israel. It's very crucial for us. And you know, I still think that Benjamin Netanyahu might just take this whole situation into his own hands and deal with it himself over there. And just in order to protect the nation of Israel, because it seems like every day more and more and more of the information that comes out of the White House is anti-Israel and pro-Iranian. That is very scary to me. That is a very dangerous situation for our nation to be in under the leadership of our current president.
Gary, absolutely. I mean, if I weren't anchored in my seat because I have a headphones on and a microphone, I'd be standing up jumping around myself. So I appreciate you keeping a lid on Dave sitting there beside you.
But it's not working, but we're trying.
but I tell you, these are critical days. It is. He is lying about what is at stake here, and the anger in his eyes towards Benjamin has been seen before. Some say, well, that's just a personal conflict and a personal, disagreement. Oh, no. To me, this is far deeper than a personal disagreement. I think I'm almost watching a spiritual conflict between what Benjamin Netanyahu represents and what the president is trying to accomplish. Do you know this morning, Gary and Dave, that out of Tehran itself, that Tehran has issued a statement today, I think, or last night, or, you know, or this morning, one or the other, have stated that because of what the United States is already doing or not doing, they're already laying the groundwork to say that we've already broken the agreement to free them up to go do what they want to do.
I mean, well, we knew that would happen.
Well, I mean, but it hasn't even been fully discussed. The point is, everything the president's saying, this is not a sure thing. It is absolutely unsure. It is not predictable in the good sense of the word. It is absolutely predictable in the bad sense of the word. And it's all of this, and even in the midst of all of these things happening, the leader of the free world, of our United States, can stand up and with a straight face, more or less, make these kinds of claims. It is. I mean, we're witnessing, like we talked about yesterday with the Planned Parenthood thing. With the president's claim about global warming, and Joe Bastardi talking about we're walking into the twilight zone. We're still in the twilight zone here today on this issue.
He seemingly implied in this particular speech that he's been given that he is a president that has good judgment. And, Dan, I see you're getting ready to say something. I don't know if you're going to say anything about his good judgment or not, but...
No, I just wanted to tell all of you that the global warming situation has just cooled off because he just quit talking.
Burr.
You know, gentlemen, here's the deal about this thing. Sam, I think you've hit the nail squarely on the head. This goes well beyond a personal disagreement between two world leaders whose nations are supposed to be allies. This runs much deeper than that. When you watch today, as is increasingly becoming the case, you watch the president's body language, his facial expressions, when he talks about Israel, it is literally a venomous, visceral response that he struggles to contain. It is akin to what he did to that reporter that questioned, mm-hmm. The president allowing, being content to allow four of our American citizens to still be held hostage in Iran and not be brought up in this Iranian deal. And he went after that reporter and did everything in his power to contain himself. That's what I saw in this speech today. Gentlemen, it is disturbing.
Well, it is disturbing. And, you know, Sam, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't want to see anything happening to our president, in a physical way or in a bad way. Certainly, we need to pray for his salvation. We need to pray that he comes to the Lord. We need to pray that he begins to think and act biblically. But we serve a mighty God. And we serve a God who does not put up with such nonsense. Sam, it wouldn't be surprising to me if God just didn't take Barack Obama out of the picture.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we know he put him in the picture. Let's
That's
not forget
true.
That.
God we know
put
that.
Him in. God put him in the picture, and he's in the picture to accomplish something that the Lord has permitted to be done. And whether or not that has occurred yet or not, I don't know. But it still does not change how we should pray. We should mm-hmm. pray for the salvation of him, just like every other person who's in a position of authority. Mm-hmm. We must do that because that's our biblical command. On the other hand, for us not to witness these real extensions for the promotion of evil, and to know that it's a little different than just somebody who's just a little bit in a disagreement. It's something of a different type that we are witnessing. I think it's what Dave was talking about, and I agree with that.
Well, it's absolutely true, and I think that we need to pray for the salvation of everybody. I appreciate that. I used to say we need to pray for the salvation of Saddam Hussein and all those guys. That's what we're all about as Christians. Serious times in which we live, exciting times in which we live. Watch the Bible and watch the news. I tell people that all of the time. Read the Word of God and watch the news. And because, God's bringing them all together, bringing them both together in the day and age in which we live. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will return tomorrow. Let others know about Stand in the Gap today. Until then, on behalf of Dave and Dan Kistler, Sam Rohrer, I'm Gary Dahl, saying keep looking up, for the best is yet to come. We've read the last chapter of the last book of the Bible.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohrer, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.